The New Testament Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 9, verses 19 through 33. God's sovereign purpose, expressed as three themes. First, His recompense, dealing with wrath and mercy, patience and preparation. Secondly, the great reversal between Israel and Gentiles, and Israel and its remnant. And thirdly, God's purpose in righteousness, by faith or by works. What does this have to do with religious leaders? Well, let's look at the components of human religions, since every society creates religion. Religions include cosmology, that is, myths about origins and history, which explain visible reality. Secondly, religions provide beliefs about supernatural entities or natural forces, which are believed to control or disrupt daily life. Thirdly, religions dictate behavior, setting social and personal rules which seek to maintain social harmony. And fourthly, religions provide rituals or ceremonies supervised by effective shamans or by qualified clerics. In the first century, Paul had to deal with those who were trying to convert Jesus' teachings into religion. So he discusses vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. Why this metaphor? Well, let's look at God's sovereign purpose in recompense, dealing with wrath and mercy, patience and preparation. So, where shall we begin? We concluded the first half of the chapter in the previous lesson with verse 18.
So then he has mercy on whomever he chooses, and he hardens the heart of whomever he chooses.
Leading to this query,
you will say to me then, why then does he still find fault? For who can resist his will?
To resist means to oppose one power to another. Paul uses the same term in Ephesians 6, where he says we must learn to resist evil spiritual powers. And God's will, the term is bulema, meaning his intention or purpose. Those who do not follow the context well falsely conclude that there must be some kind of contradiction. Verse 20,
but who indeed are you, a human, to argue with God? Will what is molded say to the one who molds it, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use?
Well, to argue with God is to pass judgment on his principles. The potter is a metaphor drawn from the book of Isaiah regarding Yahweh himself. Why was the great ship Endurance so named? It sank in 1950 and was discovered in 2022 at some 3,000 meters depth. Verse 22.
What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience the objects of wrath that are made for destruction?
God desires. He does have a sovereign will. He also expresses wrath when he makes moral judgments. He is powerful and therefore able to inflict justice, but he is patient. He endures because he has a long-term plan. Even destruction expresses his creative purpose. Believers are looking forward to great glory in the heavens. Verse 23.
And what if he has done so in order to make known the riches of his glory for the objects of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory?
Well, God is making known and will make known, for he is a self-revealing God. Riches express tremendous value. God produces amazing abundance both now and forever. and he wants to show his mercy by fulfilling needs and fulfilling his own purpose, especially in those whom he has prepared beforehand. To prepare. Before when? Well, before glory. That is, the everlasting life following the resurrection of the just who become co-rulers with him in the everlasting kingdom of God. If God had not shown great patience, we too would have perished. In the New Testament times, there was a clash between Gentiles and their manner of life and Jews and their more righteous way of life. So we come to the second section, the great reversal, Israel and Gentiles, Israel and its remnant. Since the time of the great Jerusalem Council, there has been a tendency either to erase the importance of Gentiles or to replace Israel, thereby erasing the Jews. Verse 24,
including us, whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles.
He called us to what? To believe and to obey Jesus. God calls Jews, see the next slide, and he calls Gentiles from all geographical, racial, political, ethnic, language, and religious backgrounds. To rightly interpret the Bible, we should try to understand who or what is a Jew. There are racial Jews, that is, those who are descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and historical Jews, the exiles from Judea province in Babylonia. Ethnic Jews include those who are culturally Hebrew or Israelite. Religious Jews are those who practice Judaism. In the first century, there were legal Jews, that is, their religion was considered legal. The early Christians, in order to remain legal, identified as Jews. To this day, there are cultural Jews, that is, those who self-identify as Jewish. In the New Testament, spiritual Jews include both Israelites and Gentile believers in Messiah Jesus. And today, there's a category of Zionist Jews, who are the more privileged Israeli citizens. Gentiles now worship the God of the Bible. 25.
As he also says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people, and her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called children of the living God.
God's people, the great reversal, not only Israelites, but also Gentiles become God's people. Furthermore, they become his children, being adopted into God's great family. The sands of the seashore. 27.
And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel were like the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. For the Lord will execute his sentence on the earth quickly and decisively.
The remnant. These are the faithful, believing minority of Israelites, of which there are some hundreds of thousands to this day. God will do this on the earth. Since this is a quotation from Scripture, the term should probably be in the land. Here are ruins from the region of Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 29.
And as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left descendants to us, then we would have fared like Sodom and been made like Gomorrah.
Isaiah said this in 1:9 and 13:19. What are hosts? Well, those are angel armies. And yes, these include descendants of Israel, called the seed in Genesis 12:7 and 17:4-5. Remember what happened at Sodom, where only Lot and his daughters were spared. Thirdly, God's sovereign purpose in righteousness, which is by faith, or is it by works? Although all humans were subject to the wrath of God, God Himself has provided a means, faith, by which we can all become objects of mercy. Verse 30.
What then are we to say? Gentiles, who did not strive for righteousness, have attained it, that is, righteousness through faith.
But Israel,
who did strive for the law of righteousness, did not attain that law.
To strive is to pursue in any way. Righteousness or acquittal by faith is simply the principle of believe and receive. The law itself says, do this, and God will acquit you, forgive your sins, and declare you righteous. Well, do what? This introduces the stumbling block. 32.
Why not? Because they did not strive for it on the basis of faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone.
We shall deal with the stumbling stone in the next chapter. Meanwhile, to strive means to pursue in any manner. To be based on faith or based on works, the Greek says, from faith or from works. And what are these works? Well, these include any human effort or religious practices. We shall see some of those in the next slide. To stumble, then, is the crux of the matter. What shall we do with the stumbling stone? Now, which of the following do you consider to be religious works or expressions of faith? To give alms, which is it? To believe, works or faith? Charity, to remain faithful? Fasting, festivals or ceremonies? To forgive others? To give generously? To have hope? To go on jihad or Christian mission? To pray? To preach? To repent? Keep the Sabbath day? Attend church services? Bible study? Or just to trust in God's promises? Returning to the cornerstone,
as it is written,
verse 33,
see, I am laying in Zion a stone that will make people stumble, a rock that will make them fall, and whoever trusts in him will not be put to shame.
Scholars point out that the Hebrew term for stone, eben, is a feminine noun. To trust, both in Hebrew and Greek, means to believe and remain faithful. Scholars point out that the pronoun him is a masculine pronoun, not directly related to the stone. Then, in whom do we trust? Is it the Lord God, or is it the Messiah, or both? Well, here are my tentative conclusions from this half of chapter 9. First, this is not dealing with predetermined salvation of individuals. Rather, it is dealing with God who determines how people obtain everlasting life or salvation. That is, people must obtain salvation by remaining faithful to Messiah Jesus. People cannot earn salvation by their hard work, by their religious identity, or following the dictates of their religion. For next time, please read carefully Romans chapter 10 in any version of your choice, and visit our website at romans.forum. F-O-R-U-M.